I'm going to read from Matthew 4 this morning. Matthew chapter 4. It says there in verse 12, "Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned.' From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And may the Lord bless the public reading of his word. The passage we have this morning deals with the entry of Jesus into Galilee. Now let me remind you that Jesus was not born in Galilee. He was born in the southern part of Israel, in Judea. But because of threats from Herod, the family escaped to Egypt. Then later they returned and settled in the northern part of Israel, in Nazareth in Galilee. And there he grew into manhood. And as a man, Jesus leaves Galilee and comes down to Judea. And there he is baptized by John the Baptist. It's there, following that, he is tempted by the devil. And now we see him ready to enter Galilee. And sadly, some commentators will tell you that Jesus, after the imprisonment of John, went to Galilee through fear of his own safety. But Matthew, in this passage, clearly relates the entry of Jesus into Galilee with the great prophecy of Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 2, which he quotes here. Now, this prophecy speaks of a coming one who would shine as a great light. And that light would begin in Galilee. And through this coming one, through the shining of this light of truth, men and women would be delivered from darkness, and there would be salvation for Jew and Gentile. And Isaiah, in the same prophecy, identifies this coming one. It says there in Isaiah 9, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government there will be no end." These are words that apply only to deity, to God manifest in the flesh. And here we have it in verse 17 here. Matthew presents Jesus to us as the coming one. He presents Jesus to us as a coming one who would shine as a great light, who would proclaim the truth of God. And he marks the profound fulfillment of this prophecy, of this light that would come and shine in Galilee, with the words in verse 17, "And Jesus began to preach, 'Repent and receive the gospel.'" The light began to shine in Galilee. Now, this passage represents a high point in Scripture. It's a great watershed in biblical history. But what significance does all this have for you and me here in Paisley today? If this passage has to do with anything, it's all about hope. Hope. Now, there are different definitions of the word hope. I like to think of it as that sure expectation of something better even for me. A sure expectation of something better even for me in my situation. But here's the problem here. When you read this passage, it's obvious that this hope, this expectation of a brighter future, centers on the coming one, centers on the shining of the light. That's obvious. But there's something else here in this prophecy that's not so obvious. Not so readily seen a truth that gives added significance to the prophecy. A truth that brings out the full scope and depth of this hope. Have you ever heard the expression, you can't see the forest for the trees? Which simply means you can have all the facts and all the details and you still don't get it. Do you ever read the Bible that way? You read a passage and at the end of it you say, what was that all about? You don't know what it's all about. What I want to do here this morning is to bring out the full hope that's contained in this prophecy. What we have to do, just for a moment, to see the fullness of this hope, we have to shift our focus away from the coming one, shift our focus away from the great light, and shift our focus to where the light began to shine. Galilee. Galilee of the Gentiles. Our hope is bound up in that word, Galilee. Now you might ask the question, why Galilee? Why did the living God in his infinite wisdom decide that this light should shine in Galilee first? What's so significant about Galilee? Does it make any difference where the light began to shine? Come on, Dan. Is it not enough that the light did come? It began to shine no matter where it shone. It could have been in Samaria. It could have been Judea. Does it make any difference? Well, I want to tell you this. God never speaks. He never acts without purpose. God had a purpose in shining that light in Galilee. I want to try and explain that to you. Why begin there? How does that have hope for me that the light began in Galilee? Well, let me explain this to you. Galilee was a large area in the northern part of Israel. And in Isaiah's time, right unto Matthew's time, Galilee was always defined by and closely associated with one word, Gentiles. Gentiles. Gentiles are those like you and I, out with the Jewish faith, despised by the Jews. In fact, you know what the Jews used to say about Gentiles? They're nothing more than firewood for the fires of hell. Despised by the Jewish race. And what happened was, you see, coming into Israel from Syria, right down through Galilee, right into the heart of Israel, there runs a major route. And down that route came in the Gentiles, flowing into Israel. An area associated with the Gentiles. And in 721 BC, the Assyrians invaded the northern part of Israel. And something tragic happened, which is still spoken of today. Almost the entire population, the Jewish population of the north, including Galilee, were taken away captive, never to be heard of again. The lost 10 tribes of Israel. And so this region, with the flowing in of this great route through Galilee, became more and more a place settled by Gentiles. And even worse, in 63 BC, the Romans invaded Judea. And by Matthew's day, Galilee was a major center of Roman occupation. What I'm trying to say is this. Galilee was a place identified with Gentile ways, Gentile customs, Gentile idolatry, Gentile immorality, and Gentile occupation. The term Galilee of the Gentiles wasn't a chummy little nickname. It was an insult. It was a slur. And Matthew 4 and Isaiah describe Galilee as a place of great spiritual darkness, moral darkness. And notice the people sat in darkness. They were entrenched in their darkness. They were comfortable in their darkness. You walk out in the streets anywhere and go anywhere and talk to them about Jesus, they don't want to know. They're entrenched in the spiritual darkness. And even worse, they sat under the shadow of death. We're not speaking of physical death here. They were sitting under that shadow of eternal death, eternal separation from God. Here's the point. In the eyes of God and in the eyes of the Jew, Galilee was the most contaminated, the most despised, the most defiled, the most dishonored, the vilest, idolatrous place in all of Israel. A place of no hope. You have to ask a question. Why did God begin there? I mean, given the occasion, the coming of the Christ, the great light, given the occasion of the... He began to preach, the light began to shine, you would think it would have been in some holy place, like the steps of the temple or the banks of the Jordan or on top of Mount Moriah. But vile Galilee, why Galilee? Well, let me remind you again, God never acts. He never speaks without purpose. And God, in his infinite wisdom, determined that this shining of the truth would begin in Galilee for a purpose. And that purpose could be summed up in one word: hope. That you and I here in Paisley today can have a certain expectation of something better for us. You see this, the point I'm going to make. If the light of God, if the word of God can dispel and overcome the deepest darkness, if it can penetrate the most contaminated, the most defiled, the most ungodly place, this cries out hope. There's hope for me. It shouts out there is no place, no situation, no experience, no heart, no sin, however black, the light of God can't penetrate. The light of God can't penetrate, and that's hope. Galilee cries out hope for the most hopeless. That's why the Lord began there. The most vile. Galilee speaks not only of the wisdom of God, but also the love, the mercy, and wisdom of God. You know, Galilee is the whosoever of the gospel. Joe Martin Luther used to go around saying to his friends, "I'm so glad," John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world," you all know it, "that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish but have eternal life." Martin Luther used to say to his friends, "I'm so glad, it doesn't say if Martin Luther believed, he would have eternal life." It says, because every night I'd be waking up in a cold sweat, wondering if the Lord meant a different Martin Luther to me. He says, "But whosoever," that includes me, "whosoever, whosoever." Do you know, my son and I were discussing this the other day. His friend was murdered in Glasgow. He was just going to get a train, and this character stamped on him, beat him, punched him, robbed him. And my son went to the court case, and he saw the street video and this guy, this vile character. And he's saying to me, "Dad, surely, how can that man ever be saved?" Well, I want to tell you, he could, because the Bible says, "Whosoever." even the vilest murderer if he gives his heart to Christ. That's the gospel we preach. That's what Galilee means. Galilee means whosoever. Whosoever. That gives hope for you and I today. There's a wonderful example of this, of the light shining in a hopeless case and removing a life from under the shadow of death. And very quickly, in John chapter 8, you know the story. It's the Feast of the Tabernacles. You remember that when they followed the cloud and the pillar of fire in the wilderness? And Jesus is teaching in the temple, and suddenly a crowd comes and they drag a woman before him. A woman caught red-handed in adultery. And they threw her into the middle of the crowd. And they said, "This teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses and the law commanded us that this woman should be stoned. Stoned to death." You see, the Pharisees looked on this woman as scum, as filth, deserving of death. This was a woman under the shadow of death. She was that much away from being stoned. And then the Pharisees asked a question. They turned to Jesus and they said, "What do you say? What do you say?" And Jesus, you know the story well. He looked at this woman and he says, "Do any of your accusers condemn you?" And she says, "No," because they all moved away. He says, "Neither do I. Neither do I." And you know the very next words in the Bible after this story? "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I am that light you followed in the wilderness. I am the great light that arose in Galilee. I am the light that can dispel darkness and ignorance and penetrate the blackest heart." And they removed this woman from the shadow of death. Galilee speaks of hope for the most hopeless. It's a certain hope. Now, if I say to you, "To Jim there, I'll meet you next week in Glasgow. Anything could happen. I might bail, he might bail. I might get knocked down with a bus. I might not make it." But when the Lord speaks, Hebrews 6 says, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul. God doesn't do false hope. But let me explain this to you before I finish. It's a limited hope. It's a limited hope. Heed the words of the Lord. He says, "Those who follow me." He didn't say everybody. Those who follow, like those sheep following the shepherd. Those who are devoted to me, those who follow me, this hope, this expectation of something better is enjoyed by those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this scripture is one of the great watersheds in biblical history. The light began to shine. And the Lord marks clearly that this shining began, Jesus began to preach in Galilee. There is a light that can penetrate the blackest darkness. You know, I was just thinking there, I don't know if you ever heard of Steffi Graf, the great tennis player. When she won her first Wimbledon title, she said, "This is the greatest moment in my life." I wonder, if you had been given the opportunity to speak to that woman caught in adultery, and you asked her the question, "What was the greatest moment in your life?" Do you think she would say, "The day I won a game"? What do you think she would say? "The day the light of Christ shone in my heart. That was the greatest moment in my life. When the light dawned and I received that light into my heart. Remember the word Galilee. It speaks of the vilest, the darkest, the blackest. And God chose to shine it there so that you and I today, that's my hope. There is hope even for me. And that light is still shining today for all who repent and believe. No matter how black your sin, the foulest murderer. The way I put it is, and I know he didn't, but if Hitler had gone on his knees and received Christ truly in faith as his Savior, he'd be saved. The whosoever. Galilee speaks of the whosoever. You know, the Romans built their hope in government and military power. The Greeks built their hope in art and philosophy. The Jews built their hope in religion and good works. But our hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I thank God for Galilee. Galilee of the Gentiles. There's hope for all of us if we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the hope your word brings to all of our hearts. That, Lord, whosoever will, the blackest sinner who puts his trust in you can receive the light of life. And so, Lord, we have this firm hope, this expectation of a future through Jesus Christ.